consciousness of God's working power. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And from verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of the faith of the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, the essence of wisdom, and I will usually add in scripture, the essence of insight in scripture is revelation in the knowledge of him. Then he goes on to say in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe. So don't forget the word know, that ye may know, I know. A word that means to be aware of or to be conscious. To be conscious, to have something in your consciousness. In your consciousness. So in verse 19, Paul says that you may know. The Spirit of God is saying to us that we may know. So we're able to see that the power of God is in the gospel, and when it is believed, there's enough power to save. There's enough power to raise he that believes from the dead. Now, Paul is saying that there's a need to know that power that works towards you when you believe. And this knowledge has to do with consciousness. There's a need to be conscious of it. When you believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, power worked towards you. All you needed to do is to put faith in the gospel. The power of God worked towards you. But there's a need for you in discipleship to become more conscious of that power, that resurrection power, that mighty power. In Philippians 3 and 10, Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. Paul says that I may know him. And scholars and historians have told us that this will be after 30 years or about 30 years of Paul's ministry. He then said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Okay? So it's not something that is attributed to the new convert or, you know, for those who are just starting. There's a need to know the power of God. So Paul writes to the saints at Ephesus and says, you ought to know, you ought to be conscious of, you ought to be aware, you ought to have experiences of the exceeding greatness of his power. Hallelujah. And when it comes to the knowledge of power, it is according to its magnitude. Power. The more the power, the more the consciousness. Praise God. Amen. You know, there are naked wires that you touch, it just does ding, 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 ding. You know, just there's something there. You know, there are some misconnections that you begin to feel some tingling feelings when you touch some devices, equipment. Just maybe the fridge or the microwave, just what's this? And then there's something here. There's something here, or some naked wires. I know there are some naked wires that you touch, you vibrate. Amen? You vibrate. Then you see some that you touch, it lifts you up, amen, and throws you beyond the usual mark. Hallelujah. You know, there's that. You know, there's now the one that you are passing under and you are hearing zzzz. It's high voltage. The one that you encounter in the house, you know, or without the house, you don't hear anything, but there's something there. You don't touch. There's the one that you now be hearing. You don't need to touch that one to know there's power here. Amen. There's power here. That one, you touch it, is you don't live to tell the story. Amen. It's not that power touch. He don't. He roasts. Praise God. You know, there's 220 to 240 volts, and that can shock you. That can lift you. There's 600 volts. You know, you get that from direct current, and you know that can also be very powerful. There's 33,000 volts. That's why you need a transformer. Step down from 33,000 to 240 that you can use. Plug your phone to 33,000 volts. My God. The apps in the phone will be jumping out like this. You see Facebook, Twitter. Just jump out. Amen. There'll be no phone again. Just you've seen the apps. 33,000 to your phone. Amen. So the more the power, the consciousness. The more the consciousness. Praise God. So you pass. You know the places that they call power line. Say, where do you live? Power line. Where do you power line? Oh wow, power line. It's because of those things, oh. I mean, you can go down there, just a little away from here. You will see one example. Pass on that. When if there's power flowing through me. The more the power, the more the consciousness. Amen. I mean, there's a law where it passes. Things should not be underneath it. That land automatically belongs to the government, belongs to the authorities. Because nothing should be under that name. Imagine it just caught, it just came down. Whatever is there is gone. Amen. So the magnitude of the power should bring knowledge and awareness to our senses, to our consciousness, that there is power in this place. Does that make sense? That there's power in this place. And the truth is, that is why, as a man, you need those experiences of the tangible power of God. You need it. I'm sorry, I can't remember who said this. Is it? I don't know if it's John. I'm not sure. I can't remember now who it is. But it says, just like electricity is God's power in the natural, the anointing is God's power. Amen? It's God's power in the supernatural. As it were. That should be the statement, sort of. In other words, you say the anointing or the power of God, it is tangible power. Tangible. Some would want to use the term anointing. I prefer to use the power of God. The power of God. Just as it is tangible in the natural electricity, the power of God is tangible. It's tangible. Hallelujah. It can be felt. Praise God. Hallelujah. Electricity. I mean, you just like I described, you know something is flowing through those lines. Some high voltage is going. It's going through. It brings to your consciousness that there's power in this place. We need such consciousness at times. Amen. Amen. We need such consciousness. There's no guarantee in God's word that says that you would always feel the power of God in such tremendous tangible measure. No. And there's nobody that happens to, that you feel it all the time. But that you don't feel it, Ah, there's power. Praise God. There's power. So Paul says that you may know. We have observed those words, exceeding hyperbole, that has to do with throwing beyond the usual mark, greatness, megathos, that speaks of magnitude. And then power, dynamis. Dynamis, that speaks of inherent ability. Power that, something that is a part of you. And he says it's inherent, then you cannot separate it from that thing. Glory to God. For the man in Christ, you cannot separate power from him. Glory to God. Glory to God. You need to help your consciousness by saying that there is no man in Christ without power. No Christian is powerless. Praise God. Praise God. The same way you can say there's no cake without butter. Except they have developed something else to use today. But, there's no cake without butter. There's none. There's none. There's none. So there is no Christian. There's no believer. There's no man in Christ without the power of God. Hallelujah. Because he was raised from the dead by the power of God. He was raised from the dead by the power of God. So we have reminded ourselves that God's word, in it is power. And we must depend upon it. We confess God's word because God's word is powerful. God's word is powerful. Amen. God's word is power. In it is power. We read Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. Jeremiah 1, 12. Just to mention a few. So that we don't take all the time. Also, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name. The name of Jesus is power. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. Being made so much better than they, that is better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than thee. Being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. In the Bible, particularly in the Greek word for name is onoma. That's the way it's O-N-O. That's like spelling onome, but not E, but A. Onoma. Name refers to authority and character of a personality. So Jesus was named Jesus. That's clear. You see that Matthew 1 from verse 21 to 23. Because he will save his people from their sins. That's the meaning of that name. That's the authority of that name. That's the character that of that of the person that owns that name. So the name of Jesus points our attention more to authority, character. And let me say to you, it points our attention to power. In Acts 4 and 12, there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. No other name can save, because the name of Jesus is God's power to save. In the name of Jesus is power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Are you following this morning? Philippians chapter 2 from verse 9. Wherefore God also had highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. His name is above. His name is above. His name is above every name. There is no authority that can match Jesus. There's none. There's none. There's none. There's none. His name is above every name. His name is above every name. He says of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things underneath the earth. The name of Jesus is authority anywhere in the universe. In heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth. His name is above every name. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. It says, which wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, from verse 20, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, mind and dominion, and every name that is named. So he's far above every name that is named. That means his name is above every name. Praise God. He says, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And then he gave him to be the head of all things to the church. Hallelujah. So the name of Jesus belongs to us. The name of Jesus belongs to us. In Acts chapter 3, Acts 3 and 6. Acts 3 and 6. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter was conscious of miraculous power. Miraculous power. He said, that's what I want to give you. Hallelujah. The same way you can dip your hands into your pocket, take out a 1,000 naira note and say, I want to give you something that tangible that you can give another person and another person can take and put in their pockets and know that you gave them something. Peter says, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The man was looking at him. He grabbed him by the hand, took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And his ankle bones received strength. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is our authority. Our authority. Our dominion on this earth. That's the name. There's power in the name. There's power in the name. In Mark 16:17. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. Hallelujah. In my name, they shall cast out demons. In my name. In my name. In Luke 9:1. Luke 10:1. From verse 1, well, let's just stay with 1. He gave them power. He sent them out and he gave them power. Power. In Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give you power. That word power is authority over serpents and scorpions. I give you power to trample on. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. By the time they came back, later in Luke 10, from verse 17, they were excited, they rejoiced that demons were subject unto them in the name of Jesus. That through his name they were able to cast out them. There's power in that name. Hallelujah. There's power in that name. There's power in that name. When Jesus rose from the dead, the name now became ours. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The name now became ours. When we say in the name of Jesus, all the power of God attends to what we are saying. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Jesus himself is present in the name. Glory to God. Jesus is himself is present in the name. You know what that means? It means if I say in the name of Jesus, come out. It is as though Jesus stood and said, come out. Hallelujah. It's as though Jesus himself present and said, come out. Which demon? Which demon? I said, which demon? Will Jesus say, come out and he won't? Which demon? Which demon? He has all authority in heaven, in earth, and underneath the earth. Praise God. I mean, we must understand what we have. You know, the name of Jesus has so much authority that nobody goes to hell without his knowing. Not because he sends people there. Amen. Not because he sends people there, but the keys are in his hands. He went there and came out. He came out. When you refuse Jesus, that's when you go to hell. You see? I'm in hell, but I've never encountered Jesus. That's a lie. That can never happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Jesus himself is present in the name. He's present in his name. In John 14, John 14. Open there. We have to read that together like we did the last time. Open there. John 14 from verse 12 to 14. John 14. Come on, come on, come on. Are you there? John 14 from verse 12 to 14. Are you ready? Let's read together. One, two, go. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he also, because I go to, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah. What an assurance. What a promise. What an assurance. You ask, I will do. You ask, I will do. Praise God. You ask, I will do. You ask, I will do. Amen? You ask, I will do. Have you seen those videos where someone just tries to be a blessing to humanity and then he says, come, you know, you're going to shop for 1 minute. Whatever you take, I'll pay for it. Whatever. Whatever. Have you seen someone say, okay, if you can answer this question, pick anything, I'll pay for it in 5 seconds. And say, what is 2 times 4? And I say, 8. 1, 2, 3. And whatever you pick, I'll pay. Whatever you pick, I'll pay. I mean, if there's not one that says, you know, I put a cap of this, I put a cap of 100,000 naira, if you pick within that limit, I'll pay. If all you pick goes beyond, I won't pay. And all of that. Just imagine, say, whatever you pick, I'll pay. I even saw one recently. The lady picked to the tune of 1.6 million. And he paid. My God. He paid. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask, I will do it. I will do it. You ask, I will do. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You ask, I will do. You ask, I will do. Praise God. You ask, I will do. That's what Jesus said. You ask, I will do. You say, be healed, I will do it. Glory to God. Take your seats. You ask, I will do. You ask, I will do. Scholars tell us that in the Greek, the way 14 sounds is this. If you ask anything in my name, even if it does not exist, I will make it. Hallelujah. I will fabricate it. I will bring it into existence. Amen. I'll bring it into existence. Glory to God. I'll bring it into existence. Why do shorter limbs grow? God supplied the bones. That minute, God supplied the bones. Praise God. Glory to God. Some also say it like this. Even if I don't have it, I will make it for you. My goodness. My goodness. My goodness. My goodness. I mean, Matthew 7:7 is popular, but we need to meditate on it again. He says, ask and you shall receive. Praise God. Why don't you ask? Why don't you ask? Why don't you ask? Ask in my name, you get it. Ask in my name, you get it. There's enough power in the name. There's enough power in the name. There's enough power in the name. There's power, there's ability, there's creative ability in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 to 23, Paul put our attention on the magnitude of power that is in the resurrection. That's what he did. He was putting our attention on it. He says, and to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power, to also do believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He now began to describe. He now began to describe. Amen. Imagine there's naked wire and I don't want you to touch it. All right? I don't want you to touch it. And then I describe what it did to someone. I say, when this person touched it, it not only shocked the person, it threw the person. It not only threw the person, it threw the person out of the window. It not only threw the person out of the window. The person landed outside. Let me go and show you where the person landed. There's still a hole there today. When that picture is painted, you now realize that, Omo, this thing should not be touched. Just carry something, whatever, even if it's useful, just go and block that place. This thing cannot be touched. Amen? So he described the power of God, the way he walked. He said, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only this world, but also in that which is come, and that put all things under his feet and give him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body. Hallelujah. 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 That same power is working in me now. Glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There is power working in us. Power working in us. The same power that God worked in Christ. The way Paul described it, exceeding greatness of power. I told you that Greek scholars say that these are too many words put together. They are too powerful. To put these words together is too much. Hyperbolo megathos dynamis. Too much. That's too concentrated. It means that Paul had to look for the words that could describe the magnitude of God's power. There's so much power. Hallelujah. So much power. So much. So much. One event of Christ's resurrection is still a terror in the camp of the enemy till today. One event. One event. I mean, you need imageries in your mind to understand some things. It's just like thieves used to terrorize a particular community, a particular estate. Then somebody came and then put it on the social media and I now live in so-and-so estate. If you are a thief, if they bore you well, come to this estate. And from that time, thieves don't come again. And the man moved out of the estate, moved to another country. Thieves, you don't come to that place. Amen? Amen? The resurrection, so much power was displayed. So much! And that power did not go to waste. That power is in us. Hallelujah. That power is in us. That power is working in our lives now. That power is healing our bodies, mending our bodies, repairing our bodies, bringing our organs together to work well to serve the Lord. That power is working now. Working now. Bringing down the sugar level. Bringing down the blood pressure. Putting, normalizing. That power is working. It's working, it's working, it's working. Hallelujah. That power is causing money to come to me. Yes, my needs are met, my bills are paid. That power is bringing disciples together. Yes. That power is causing sinners to listen to our gospel. Yes. There's fruitfulness in our outreaches. Because there's power. There's power. There's enough power to make a herbalist listen to you. Yes. There's enough power to open blind eyes. There's enough power to unstop deaf ears. There's enough power. Enough. There's more than enough. There's more than enough. There's more than enough. And it's working. Working, working, working. The power of God is working tirelessly. 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 Take your seats. So it describes the magnitude to us so that we can see. This is the extent of the power. It not only works for Jesus. That power is for us. It's with us now. It works for anybody who believes. That power is still working today. It will still work tomorrow. It will still work. It will keep working. There's enough power. There's enough power. So Paul put our attention on that power. The magnitude of it. Uses word that you throw something beyond the usual mark. You remember the illustration in the first session, right? Beyond the usual mark. Beyond the usual mark. That's the power God displayed. So you should begin to say so to yourself, if God raised Jesus from the dead, by which we are all raised from the dead, and more people are going to be raised from the dead, if God could raise Jesus from the dead, then there's nothing that I can demand today that will not happen. There's nothing. There's nothing. I cannot be defeated. I can never 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 be defeated. There's enough power. There's enough power working. Enough power. So it describes the magnitude so that we can see it. It says he wants you to know the exceeding greatness of his power. So I wrote in my note here, Paul put our attention on what magnitude of power is in the resurrection by also showing us what the power has done. Oh, this is how far the power worked. My God. And the same power is at work in me. Oh, then I'll lay hold on it. 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 In verse 19, maybe I don't have the time to describe. It says, according to the working, the word working, energia, workings, operations, workings, according to the working, the effectual, the effectiveness, the word mighty, iskus, that has to do with force or strength. Then power, sorry for Russian, kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S, kratos. Kratos is power in its displayed strength. You know, when there's, you know, when you're passing under the power line and you're hearing, you know there's power there. When a bird now go lands on it, and then you now see how it fries it, all right? Or an animal lands and you just say, yeah! And that's the end. And then you're looking for the animal, and then you find the air somewhere, and then you're, prah! When you see it, that's Kratos. Power in his displaced strength. Now show himself. Hallelujah. The power now show itself. Say, yes, this is what I can do. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So God shows us, God showed us what the power could do. What his power can do in the resurrection and the glorification of Jesus. And even in the exaltation of the church. In 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 to 21, here is a man called Elisha, whom God spoke to Elijah to appoint as prophet in his stead. And he did. Elijah used his mantle to part River Jordan and went through. By the time Elijah was taken by chariots of fire, by a whirlwind, then Elisha took his mantle, parted River Jordan and came back. Bible scholars tell us that Elijah did 16 miracles. Elisha did 32. A double of it. And all of that. Elisha died. Buried in a sepulcher. Then, some guys were burying a man. 2 Kings 13, 20 to 21. Then, they now spotted Moabites. He spied on them that, these guys are coming to attack us. So they couldn't conclude the burial. And so they carried this guy and were running. If you're carrying a dead body, to slow you down now. So what did they do? They threw the dead body inside Elisha's sepulcher, were running, man jumped up and came alive. Bones! Bones! The man had gone, there was still power. There was still power. Hallelujah! There was still power. There was still power. There was still power. The man had gone, there was still power. You're a man in Christ too. You know, I told you in the last service that I had to readdress my consciousness. Yes, there are germs, there's outbreak, there's this one, there's that one. Then I shook someone, then I began to think, germs. I began to go, power just went from me to him. Power just went from me to him. I had to readdress my consciousness. Yes, man, prophet of God. God used him. The Spirit of God was upon him. But he was not in the dispensation that we are in. Where the Spirit of God is resident in. Where there's power. If I sit down somewhere, when I get up, power did here. Hallelujah. There's power in my house. There's power everywhere. Power everywhere. If I just tweet, There's power there. Amen.
Amen.
There's power here, everywhere. Power there, my pen. Power there, my power there, and catch it. There's power everywhere. Amen. Praise God. It is this consciousness, sit down, that God wants us to have. It's not that you don't have power. It's the consciousness of it. Consciousness. 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 I need to close now. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power." Remember that word receive? Lambano. After that, the Holy Ghost has come on you. I'm not sure if this one says, but my Bible reference I used to use before, it says, "You shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming on you." So it means when the Holy Ghost came, he came with power. Then Jesus now said, you will now lay hold of that power. So when the Holy Ghost came into your heart, he came with power. There's no powerless Christian. But the issue is consciousness. How conscious are you? Hallelujah. How conscious are you? So we must pay attention to the instruction of Jesus and do it well. You shall receive power means you shall get a hold of power. So imagine there's naked wire and it's the power of God that is in there. And the instructions of Jesus is touch it and let it enter you. Touch it and experience it. We will now get ourselves to touch it. And I say, there's power there, there's power there, there's power there, there's power there. I never touch them. There's power there, there's power there. No. I will go and touch it. I would have the experiences. There's power. Hallelujah. There's power. There's power. There's power. There's power. There's power. Hallelujah. There's power. Psalm 91 as we close. We'll read together. I'd like you to stand on your feet. Psalm 91. Power is for walk. Oh. For walk. So, it means that our consciousness must get to the point where there is no task that seems too much for the power that we have. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So we're going to read Psalm 91 for ourselves. For ourselves. We could just read to the end, but let's just do till 11. Psalm 91 from verse 1 to 11. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you confess God's word properly because you are conscious of his power. Hallelujah. It's from the position of power that confession is well done. It's from the position of power that prayer is well made, offered. Glory to God. Are you ready? Psalm 91, from verse 1 to 11, 1 to go. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee. And from the noises, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the destruction. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. The reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, there shall no evil befall thee. Hallelujah. Do you believe God's word?
Yes, sir.
If you don't remember, take this Psalm 91, talk. Come on. I give you 1 minute. Come on. Talk the word. Talk the word. No evil befalls me. No plague comes near my dwelling.